The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Investigations into the death of 23-year-old Nicole Moriar continuing in Limerick this evening after she was killed in that dog attack last night that you would have heard of. Emergency services called to the house in the Ballyneety area just after 11:30. And our Southern reporter, Jamie O'Hara, was at the scene today. Jamie, what is the latest on this?
Kieran, good afternoon. Well, a terrible tragedy for Nicole Moriar and her family and friends last night after she was attacked by what's understood to have been an XL bully dog in the garden of a house that was just a few kilometres from Ballyneety. Now, investigations are continuing. Gardaí of Roxburgh Road, they are asking anyone with any information to contact them. And also, Gardaí say they're aware of videos from the scene of the tragedy being shared online. And they've put out a special appeal. They're asking people not to share any footage.
Her death, I understand as well, Jamie, came on her birthday.
That's right. On a post on Facebook paying tribute to Nicole, her sister Jolene said she had spoken to Nicole just seconds before the incident, which happened on her birthday, unfortunately. She has described her sister's death as like a bad dream and says she's heartbroken. Now, tributes and condolences are streaming in for the young woman who has been described as gentle and harmless, and her sister has also organised a vigil in Limerick to take place tomorrow evening, and she's asking people to bring yellow and purple balloons.
What has the reaction been more widely in Limerick today, Jamie?
Well, Kieran, a sense of shock in the area and online today that something like this could happen, especially to someone so young. And I spoke to the Mayor of Limerick, Gerald Mitchell, today, and he summed up the feelings of people here.
As Mayor of the City and County of Limerick, and on behalf of the people of Limerick City and County, first of all, I'd like to express my genuine sympathy to all the family, relations and friends, to the local community, the community at large. I live quite near the area. I'm well acquainted with the area. It's shocking news for the area under the circumstances that this lady has died. Yeah, it's extremely tough for a young lady like this. It's thinking to be attacked by a dog and to die under such circumstances is unbearable to think about. It's misfortunate for the family. It's misfortunate for her friends, and it's misfortunate for the whole community. The whole community will come together to support the family, and I'm quite sure the necessary liaison officers from the Gardaí will be there as well.
All right, that's the Mayor of Limerick, Gerald Mitchell. We heard, and you mentioned
Why?
It as well, the breed of the dog, the XL Bully, Jamie. There have been calls in the wake of this information for more to be done in the future to prevent similar attacks.
Yeah, that's right, Kieran. You just heard the mayor there. And this tragedy, it has reignited the debate about so-called restricted breeds. These are dogs that are, you know, perceived or seen as more aggressive. They're more strong. They're stronger. They're basically, you know, seen as more dangerous than a typical dog. Now, there's 11 breeds on that list. And earlier today, Minister Heather Humphreys, she was asked about it. And she said she had mentioned a cross-governmental stakeholder group she had set up to examine the whole area of restrictive breeds. So we await their final findings on that.
Well, Samantha Rawson is with us as well, an expert dog trainer and behaviourist. Samantha, I'm conscious of a family dealing with a tragedy and a family in mourning, so we'll avoid kind of commentary on that particular situation. But broadly speaking, when it comes to dogs like this, XL bullies, I mean, you know, forgive me for putting it this way, I can't think of a good reason that there should be a single XL bully allowed in this country. Am I being unfair?
Not necessarily, no. Can I just start off by expressing my sincerest condolences to her family and for everybody around Limerick and all the extended family. It's a horrible thing, no matter what the breed, to lose any relative under such circumstances is absolutely traumatic and horrible. There are people who say don't blame the breed, blame the deed. But this particular type of dog has done an extortionate amount of damage in a very short space of time. The breed has only been around since the 1990s. And I don't know any other breed that has caused such damage to society as this particular dog. So even though I'm a dog lover and a professional dog handler, you know, there's something seriously wrong somewhere. So obviously the dog is genetically, you know, just at fault somewhere. There's a fault genetically. So breeders have to be held responsible. I know the recent campaign by the government was, you know, trying to get owners to be responsible. But I really think it goes further back than that. It goes back to the breeders. And the same government are responsible for breed legislation that talks about 200 breeding bitches. So I think, to be honest with you, the government are talking out of both sides of their mouth. If they really care about dogs and animal welfare and human welfare, they would look at the dog breeding legislation in Ireland.
So what would you change about that dog breeding legislation? In what ways is it defective?
Well, I mean, it's to me, it's not monitored enough. I mean, you know, there is talk that this breed kind of, the popularity of the breed came out of the pandemic. And obviously, you know, during the pandemic, there was loads of people looking for dogs because we were all, you know, in lockdown and all the rest of it. So there was serious money being made out of dogs in the pandemic. But nobody was keeping an eye on it. And I suppose loads of things happened in the pandemic because we were in lockdown and government maybe couldn't act as normal. But that's where it goes back to. So I think you need to go after the breeders and find out who's breeding these dogs and why they're breeding these dogs and who their customers are.
Yeah, well,
and if you want to breed these dogs, surely you should have an education, you should have a license, you should show competency, you should show that you know about dogs, that you're interested in the welfare of the dogs, and not only the welfare of the dogs, but the welfare of the owners. This kind of selling a dog, see you, goodbye, good luck, you know, all cash in hand, no receipts, no traceability, no accountability, nothing. You know, that's where it needs to be looked at.
And, I mean, even were that all to change and there to be a much more regulated, much more restricted system, is there any justification within a system like that for certain breeds to be allowed? We've seen in the UK, for example, they're effectively going to get XL bullies to die off. They've restricted it to such a degree that, you know, those that are there now will be the last ones.
Yeah, that they've all to be neutered and they can't sell them or rehome them. But, however, the ban hasn't been brought into Northern Ireland, as far as I know. So, you know, Northern Ireland is exempt from that ban. So there's a loophole in the law. So I'm sure loads of dogs have been sent over to Northern Ireland and then obviously then they'd probably end up down here. So and the thing about banning anything is it goes underground.
Mm.
So the XL bully came out of, again, empirically or you know, colloquially, the reports would say that when the pit bull was banned, the XL bully came into being. So when you ban a breed, they'll only go and make something else.
Okay, the law of unintended consequences.
Yeah. So I don't think banning a particular dog works. I think you need to find out why the people are into the breed and what the breeders are doing. And the thing about breeding dogs is people who don't know the slightest thing about dogs are breeding dogs.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So anybody can breed a dog. So, but when you breed a badly genetically made up dog, then you have trouble. But who wants to own such a powerful, you know, muscular dog? Obviously, the stronger the dog, the greater degree of damage it can do. Now, all dogs can do damage. A Yorkshire Terrier can do damage as much as a large dog. But obviously, the stronger the dog, the more damage and the harder they are to control.
Yeah. But it's so often, and I say often, I'm using that word advisedly because we do have a particular situation here that we're trying our best to avoid commenting on because, you know, they are dealing with a tragedy and you're quite right to kind of share your sympathies and commiserations with that family. But quite often it's a status thing, isn't it, with dogs like this?
I would be loath to use that terminology because it kind of brandishes people with one brush and I wouldn't want to do that. But there's a certain attraction to the breed. But any dog is capable of causing harm if they're in the wrong environment or if they're owned by the wrong people or if there's a triggering event. So that's why people who say don't ban the breed, look at the deed. That's why they don't want it, because dogs are dogs are dogs and they will behave in a certain way given the wrong or the right set of circumstances. So it's not necessarily the breed, but I personally think that this particular breed has done more damage in the last 30, 35 years, more than any other breed, to my knowledge. So I think there's something genetically wrong with this particular breed.
Yeah, I think that's borne out as well by the statistics. I think in 2022, so kind of the year before they brought in these much more severe restrictions in the UK, half of fatal dog attacks were carried out by XL bullies.
Yeah. And before that, it was pit bulls. You know, so the history of these particular types of breeds is they were bred for dog fighting and for bear baiting and for taking down large animals. So, you know, there is an instinctive genetic predisposition to be aggressive. So you've got to look at the history of the breed and what it was originally bred for and why people are breeding them now. So my answer is you've got to go right back to the breeders. And I think the breeders need to be licensed before you ever talk about the owners. Because sometimes the owners are also the innocent victims.
Yeah.
You know, they go out getting a dog in full faith and trust the breeder.
Yeah.
But if the breeder doesn't know what they're doing, well then...
And as you know, Sarah, I'm sure, as Samantha, as someone who kind of works in this field, the breeder, they can talk a good game.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. The, you know, anybody who's up to no good will find a way. But the breeders have to be held responsible, and the breeders are kind of, you know, in a cash game. I don't know if the revenue commissioners are onto them, but the amount of money that's that passes hands with no traceability, you know, so my thing would be go after the breeders, find out who are breeding the dogs and talk to them rather than going after a particular breed.
And we were talking kind of before the break, Samantha, in a different context about road safety, about enforcement. How good are we on that side of things? I know a kind of somebody I spoke to relatively recently had awful hassle with kind of dogs attacking livestock and went through months and months and months of trying to get it dealt with before anything happened.
But I don't think there's enough staff. So they did say they were going to increase the dog wardens, that they were going to give more money to the dog pounds. But again, they're not addressing the problem, which is the breeders. So I don't see the point in kind of, you know, closing the stable door or after the horse.
Allowing the proliferation of the dog and then trying to enforce some sort of safety measures.
They need to go to the source and then stop it. But also educating owners generally about, you know, keeping a dog under control around livestock. I mean, the amount of people that I deal with who don't have a secure garden, who ring me with a basic training problem like, how do I get my dog to come back? What's the issue? Oh, he runs off down the road. Do you have a garden gate? Do you have a fence? No. You know, so they're the basics. So if we can't enforce the basics like a secure garden or a secure property, what hope have we got of trying to control genetically dangerous dogs?
Samantha Rawson is an expert dog trainer and behaviourist. Before Samantha, Jamie O'Hara, our own reporter, had the latest for us from Limerick on that tragedy. Samantha and Jamie, thank you both very, very much. A risk-based approach is needed, says one listener. Any animal or breed of animal which is capable of killing or seriously injuring a person should not be allowed to be kept in a domestic setting. Somebody else says dog breeds are artificial insofar as humans decided to create dogs with certain traits through selective breeding. Dog breeds are not like protected species of wild animals. Some breeds are bred to have large teeth, large muscular jaws and never to let go once they bite. Why should these breeds be allowed to exist anymore? No doubt that some dog advocates will say that it's not the breed, it's the upbringing and dogs are only dangerous in the wrong hands, but it's pure nonsense when you think of the size, power and unpredictability of breeds like the XL Bully. Another listener says, I'm not sure if restrictive breeds are inherently more aggressive, but if one decides to attack, the size, power and tenacity of the dog will determine the outcome. And Joe says, Ireland is the wild west of dog breeding. We have a very bad name across Europe. I love dogs, and because I love dogs, I want dog breeding heavily regulated with a minimum standard of facilities. Joe and everybody else, thank you for the text.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.